Okay. Good evening. Today is May 8th, I think. Yes. And we are studying in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This week's chapter or step is step three, how it works. And our speaker tonight is Terrell. Thank you, Terrell, for coming.
Hey, thank you. My name is Terrell. I'm a compulsive overeater. I will qualify real quickly to get that out of the way. My top weight's somewhere around 325 pounds, and I have 45 years of abstinence. So I've been doing this thing for a while. So my concept, my higher power, and also step three, I mean, how it works. I was reading How It Works, of course, to prep for this meeting, even though I've read it numerous times. And it talked a lot about God and so forth, and self-will run riot, and all the things that I'm kind of familiar with. But I'll kind of give you a brief journal, your journey. First I have to convince you I'm a compulsive overeater. People who don't have known me for the last 40 years, when you know, have never seen me fat. I've never been fat in my adulthood. Because I got abstinent when I was 23. Let's see. Basically, I'm a sugar addict. I love donuts. I don't know if we can speak food in this meeting, but I'm a donut junkie by heart. And I got up to like 325 pounds in high school. I went to my first OA meeting, and I got the thing called Hope. Which is what was offered to me at that time. Other stuff was offered to me, like a gray sheet of paper with a food plan, the steps. And I took the gray sheet of paper and worked that quite well. I lost about 150 pounds in about 6 months. Of course, I was a 17-year-old boy working on a shipping and loading dock, so I lost the weight rather quickly. Because if you're eating two eggs and an orange for breakfast and lifting mag rims, which I did during my summer break between high school and college, I lost a lot of weight. I didn't deal with those things that made me seek excess food. We're very clear that we have to deal with the causes that makes us want to seek excess food. So we stop seeking excess food. It's just not a matter of stopping the food. It's stopping the cause of why we want to seek excess food and commit suicide with food. And so I lost the weight. Like I said, I didn't work the steps. I had these deep, dark secrets. I couldn't tell these deep, dark secrets. So I lost the weight and went that back out and then put on about 75 pounds. And then I dealt with that deep, dark secret that I couldn't tell the living soul, which was that I was gay. And I kind of knew from a very early age that had that propensity, proclivity, whatever. I just kind of knew from a very early age that I was different, which also fed into my eating. And so I came out and I lost the weight. I discovered when the first time I came into program, I was going to meetings like once a week for moral support. And you taught me one thing, which I really took to heart, which was it's not the 100th bite that puts the weight on, it's the first. So I discovered I didn't take the first bite all day long. I was safe from food, which is that concept that normal people don't have an understanding of safe from food. But for me, it was like I knew if I started, I didn't know when I was going to stop. So I just didn't start. Right. And that for me was like I didn't eat anything all day long. And so I was maintaining my weight at 160 pounds, which is about 40 pounds less than I weigh now. What I call my donut diet. I didn't eat anything all day long because we eat 9 or 10 donuts at 2 o'clock in the morning, the way home from the discotheque to deal with all that rejection I felt that was happening with me in a bar, even though I was in a crowded discotheque in the corner, afraid to move my little finger because I know someone will walk to me and say, "Fat boy, what are you doing here?" So I was maintaining my weight at 160 pounds. I was getting fitted for contact lenses, and the eye doctor who operated my eyes when I was a kid. This is the 70s, mid 70s. So you would literally go to the eye doctor, come back 2 weeks later or a week later, and they'd have your prescription waiting for you. It's not like today where they here, try this, try this. So after several attempts, my eye doctor trying to get my prescription right, he said, "Terrell, is there a history of hypoglycemia or diabetes in your family?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, if you don't stop eating sugar, you'll be blind within a year." I then put on 30 pounds in 6 weeks. Because I was binging my way through Europe. And I remember while I was binging my way through Europe that I can still see. When things start to go gray, that's when I will stop. And that's where the depths of my disease will take me, where I'm going to sacrifice my eyesight for chocolate, for just one more bite. It was never a binge. It was just always one more bite. For me, it's never like, let's just binge it to hell. To me, it's just been, well, I'm just going to a little bite here, just another bite, just another bite, just another bite, right? Just another bite. And so after putting on 30 pounds, I was dealt with a moral and that incomprehensible demoralization. So I came back to program, and I wish to say that I came back in the fall of 1978, but that I got a sponsor. I started working the program, and after a few months, I lost all that weight, and I went to my sponsor and said, "You know, I'm sick and tired of going to these rooms full of fat ass people talking about their problems. I'm sick and tired of being told what I can and cannot eat, when I cannot eat. I want to be out dancing with the boys in Palm Springs on a Friday night. I do not want to be dancing in some damn meeting at Cedars-Sinai Hospital." So I left you folks, because I didn't want to be one of you, right? I just didn't want to be a compulsive overeater. So if you hang out with a bunch of compulsive readers in a meeting, that means you are one. So if I don't hang out with you, I'm not one, which is kind of insane, but that was my best thinking, right? And then during this time, that 3 months that I was in program in late 1978, late 78, I had a spiritual experience. And my spiritual experience was, I was walking from a meeting that Friday night. It was like I had to walk through a park, because that's where the meeting house is, in the middle of a park. And I heard this small, still voice come over me that said, "Terrell, I love you. You're going to be all right. You have as much right to be here as that tree." It was the first time in my life I didn't feel like I was breathing your air. That I mean, I live my life feeling like any second now you could snatch my breath away. So it's constant fear of you and constant. And so having that spiritual experience didn't help me, because when I told my sponsor that, I remember driving back from my sponsor's house, my sponsor at this time, going like, "Okay, God, you and me, I'm going to eat when I want, what I want, to help these people in OA. God, you're going to do this. God, I'm going to do that. God, you're going to," and I kept telling God what God was going to do to help me so I could eat whatever I want. I've learned that that doesn't really work in this program. You don't get to tell God everything that you think God should do. And so I wound up breaking my abstinence on January 5th, 1979, on two pieces of toast, and that's my last binge. I always said, if I knew it was gonna be my last binge, I've done better, but I'm hopelessly addicted to flour. I saw the donut stand, so I was gonna get my donuts. I got scared, and I said, "Oh God, I cannot do it one more time. Please, God, please help me. I cannot do it one more time." And what I couldn't do one more time was binge, was the mental obsession, insanity that comes with the binge. It was not about weight, because I maintained my weight at 160 pounds on the donut diet, but it was about the insanity that comes when I'm in my disease. And I should also be very clear, it really wasn't donuts. And if me talking about donuts makes you crazy, then call your sponsor. If you ain't got a sponsor, then get a sponsor. If me and then you can complain about how Terrell kept talking about donuts at friggin' meeting, made me get a donut, and I'm just now obsessed with donuts. Well, if you go get a donut because of me, it's not my responsibility. It's because you didn't take action steps to deal with that obsession, not the compulsion, because once you take that bite, the compulsion kicks in, but the obsession, the obsession. So I got up the next morning and called. I called my sponsor. I've been back ever since. So I like to say I got absent when Jimmy Carter was president. So that tells you how long it's been. So there's been a lot of living. So since this is about concept of my higher power, I'd like to talk about that, because it's changed over the last 45 years. And I hope to God it changes over 45 years, because as I keep evolving and changing and growing in this program, I need a higher power that gets bigger and bigger and more understanding, that I can more relate to. When I first came into program, it was I had this vision of walking down a shady tree lane with my arm in arm around this guy, this like father, whatever. And I would tell my stories or tell my life, and he would give me some input. And I go, "Oh, thank you for sharing. I'll take that in consideration," right? That kind of stuff. In my second year, I got into a very sick relationship. I mean, and just because you're absent doesn't mean it won't prevent you from getting a sick relationship. Of course, I was really sick when I came in, as far as mentally, spiritually bankrupt. And this guy that I was became lovers with, reason why I was attracted to him is because he was attracted to me, and he was a kept man, which means that people paid him to have sex. He's having sex with me, then, oh my God, I must be something special. Fucked up thinking, excuse my French. Anyway, so I was like, I'd wind up in the bathroom on my knees, like in tears because he wasn't doing it right, or so my life wasn't going right. Excuse me. And he and so I got on my knees, started praying, and when I got my knees, started praying, life got better. I got better. So I thought, oh, maybe I'll try this in the morning. Now this was almost 3 years in absence, and Austin, I had this brilliant idea that maybe if I get on my knees and pray in the morning, that maybe I might have a better day, which tells you like how thick-headed we can become. Like you talk about prayer and meditation in the morning all the time. It's discussed constantly in these programs, but I wasn't listening. I wasn't ready for that message. Anyway, so I then discovered that I could start praying in the morning. Of course, I had to get the right position. I had to get all this stuff because I had to do it perfectly. I've since learned that there is no such thing as praying perfectly, except not praying. I guess, you know, it's like getting the right position. Is my spine straight? How is my body? Like, literally, it's just, I like to say, if you want to catch a bus, wait at the bus stop, which means if you want to have a conscious contact with your higher power, try meditation, because that gives you time to stop and listen. Excuse me. So evolved and I developed in spiritual experience, and I started getting like having I started seeking outside readings and so forth, and getting really into my spiritual life and enhancing my spiritual life. For a brief period of time, I had a Hindu guru. That didn't work for me because I had a hard time praying to a monkey god. But there's all this stuff that was like I was in this path searching. And I was in the Los Angeles area, which had a big OA as a big OA group. And I mean, it was kind of noted. People told me, like, well, if you want a spiritual speaker, you should get Terrell because he's like very spiritual. Now, I don't buy that because if I start buying that, I mean, I was told at a very early age in program, don't buy your press releases. That I always like to say, like, you know, I mean, if you think, I mean, if you follow me around, you might go like, oh, and he thinks he works a good program? What? Like, really? He thinks he's abstinent? Well, yeah, I do, but you don't have to. That's all that matters. It's like, I know that it's working for me. Anyway, so had this very strong spiritual connection to a higher power. I did this course. I've done all this stuff to get in touch with a higher power. And then in 2000, an election happened. And there was election going on, and it was a lot of talk about God, and God hates fags, and God hates this, and I'm using the word God, and I had a hard time with this God concept because it's like I'm hearing God over here, and I'm hearing God over here, and I'm using the same type of words, and it didn't set well with me. And then people flew airplanes into a building, and I understand the last words in their mouth was God, which kind of didn't set well with me. And then also, I started watching the Discovery Channel and Science Channel and saw about the vastness of the universe and how pharaohs had to go and open some cabinet so the sun would come up because that's because they were God. All this stuff just really messed with my head. I mean, literally, it was like, okay, I got this. I had this I don't know, a spiritual questioning. And so what happened is I wound up becoming an atheist. So now here I am at 20 something years abstinent, deciding that I'm an atheist. And how does that work? Because we talk about God all the time in this program. So I had to, I once again, I had to be kind of get programmed and my concept of a higher power to come together. And so what I kind of, after a little bit of like, okay, think about it, like, because I knew there was a power greater than me because I'm abstinent. And I tried to stop eating donuts I mean, I tried. I tried to have self-esteem. I tried to have a wonderful, I tried to become the Terrell that I am today, but to no avail because it was me looking at me, relying upon me to make sure that I could do me, that to just be, and whenever I rely upon me to do me, to make sure I'm me, I'm coming up on the short end of the stick. So I had to come with a concept of my own higher power. And so I came up with concepts, and that's my higher power. And my higher power today is love, peace, kindness, acceptance, patience, trust, acceptance, gratitude, laughter and joy. And I use those concepts, and I've learned to like turn my will, my life over the care of those concepts, because I look at this like either I can turn my will and my life over the care of fear or anxiety or less than or deprivation. I can turn, I mean, I have a choice. I can literally, to me, it's that step three. I made a decision to turn my will, my life over the care of a power greater than myself. And the power of the greater than me is love. I
5 minutes.
got it. Thank you. I live by the ocean, Bahia Bandas, which is in Puerto Varas. I have this amazing ocean view. There's no way I can control that tide from coming in. There's no way. Last year we went through a hurricane. There's no way I can stop that hurricane. So there's something greater than me. So I decided that the world is chaotic. Period. End of story. The world is chaotic. Shit happens. It just does. Now I need to find a way to deal with that. One of my favorite sayings is I love to say, like, a sign of someone's spirituality is not what happens to them, it's how they deal with what happens to them. And that's why I look at this. I mean, I've had a lot of stuff in 45 years come down the pike, right? I mean, I've had one of the closest family members die. I've had my sponsor go through dementia and I had to put her into a home. I was like her son. She wound up wanting to have sex with me because she thought it was her husband. I mean, just stuff like, I mean, I've had a hip replacement, two shoulder replacements, a knee replacement. So I've been through physical pain. I've been through that time, where I call some guy for a date and left a voicemail and now waiting for the return phone call, which makes me crazier than anything, when I've made myself vulnerable and I'm going like, oh my God, is he gonna call? Is he gonna like, oh my God, that's gonna make me eat more than my grandmother's death. I mean, that's the stuff that go like, well, maybe let's go see what's in the refrigerator. So I've got to realize that my life is not, that I don't get to control everything that happens in my life today. So life is going to come at me and I need to find a way to deal with life. And that's when if I look at this and go like, how can I bring love into this situation? How can I bring kindness in this situation? One of the hardest ones for me is trust, which I have a hard time with that because I'm a compulsive reader and with my childhood, I didn't have a chance to really develop that strong bonds of trust with my parents. They were narcissistic alcoholics. So it's like, now I get to say, okay, I trust my higher power. And that means I trust my higher power, whatever that is. But all I know is I don't trust a supreme being to come and give me a parking space. Now, if you have that, I'm not going to try and tell you what your higher power is. And you don't tell me what my higher power is. We have a saying over there, we say in Los Angeles, which is your absence will kill me. My absence will kill you. I also believe that my higher power can kill you. Your higher power can kill me if I'm trying to take your higher power and fit it in my life and try to worship the higher power that you have. You keep your own damn higher power. I'll keep my higher power. As long as we've got one that we can work with that goes like, yeah, trust that it just have. And I was reading that it was a big book. It's a big book study. And so once again, it's like the part I was reading was a lot about like, you like it was not about supreme being, like there's a God, they're having father and so forth, which I get to go like, well, if I substitute my concepts for that God, right? And I my sponsees, I use God all the time. I don't have a problem with the word God because I know I'm now taking what I see as my higher power and just overlaid that God. It's interesting, my sponsee says, one of my sponsors goes all the time, he's like, you're not an atheist. You're one of the most spiritual, like, you're not an atheist. I'm going like, well, yeah, I am. But it's like, well, you can't be, because, once again, I'm not fitting into his concept. But all I know is that left to my own devices, I will be eating chocolate chip cookies until I'm sick, until I lose my eyesight, until I start taking body parts. That's left to my own devices. But when I literally go like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to trust. And one of the benefits of that is I have the most fabulous, wonderful life today. People tell me that they want my life, that I have this amazing, I have an amazing business. Everything's like, and it's not because I said, okay, I put in three prayers and two Hail Marys and so forth, crank the handle, and out came a gift. It was like literally what program has given me has allowed me the confidence to say yes to life. As long as I'm saying yes to life, my life will get better. But when I live in fear and anxiety, I can't see. because I'm so racked with fear and anxiety that all I want to do then is I want to go get my donuts because that's the only way I feel protected, is to go get my food to protect me from life. And our big book says that we're sensitive, we're oversensitive people, we're childish. Yes. And that's why this program has helped me grow up and become a man that I'm so thrilled of who I've become. And that's because, I mean, that's really your fault. Of course, I made the decision, step three. I made the decision to do step four. I made the decision continuing to work the program. And the program has given me who I am today. And I thought about suicide when I was a teenager. And someone told me, you know, got it. Someone said, don't call it suicide if you have killed yourself when you're a teenager. Call it murder, because you would murder the person you're going to become. Thanks for letting me share.
Wow, Terrell, I was trying to write as fast as I could down some notes. That was amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your experience. Let's see here. We will now open the meeting for questions or for 3-minute shares. As this is a big book study, sharing and questions should relate specifically to the chapter and step being studied this week. We ask you to accept this guideline in order to keep the meeting on track. If you'd like to share or ask a question, please raise your virtual hand, which is under reactions, and *9 if you're on the phone. I will call the raise hands in order, and the Zoom host will ask you to unmute when it's your turn. Would the timekeeper please set a timer for 3 minutes for each share and announce when time is up? And if the speaker is asked a question, please allow 3 minutes for the answer. At 8:47, we will stop for untimed, unrecorded chairs. Okay, Rachel Dubois, you're up.
Hey everybody, Rachel Y, recovered compulsive overeater, restrictor. Having a really rough day. I'm so sorry. I apologize to Judy and Terrell for double booking. I'm the speaker getter and I am 120 days abstinent. But I want to thank you both so much for both being of service tonight. And Terrell, thank you so much. Incredibly honest and incredible. Thank you so much. I'm finding myself abstinent from food. Definitely food neutral. And falling into what you spoke about with the what did you call it? The bad relationship. I forgot how you worded it. I have a question for you about that. I'm like, oh fuck. I think I need SLAA. Did you find in your life that you were able to use the I know transfer, the credits don't transfer, but were you able to use the principles from OA? Because that's where I need the most help, in order to help you out of that hole that I'm in right now. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that. And give it to me brutal, Terrell. I love it. Thank you so much. I'll pass. Thank you.
When I was in that relationship, I've had, it takes a lot of spiritual growth to stand up and be who I am. And so yes, I mean, I went to Al-Anon. The lover I had was an alcoholic, had like 60 days of sobriety. I mean, when I tell you it was a screwed up relationship, it was a screwed up relationship. I mean, here I am, I got a year of absence. I'm dating some guy, asked some guy to move in 30 days after I met him. I mean, he cut my hand as I was trying to grab the knife from him because he was going to slash the sofa because I didn't let him use my credit cards. I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's no rush, baby. I mean, that's 2 years of abstinence, right? I mean, it takes time. So yeah, but the working that being in OA has helped me in all my interpersonal relationships. So I went to another program for the relationship, which wasn't SLA but was Al-Anon. But it's like one of those things where yes, and now I just want to say the program has kind of screwed me up in my sexual life, in the sense of towards the good, because I can't hip slick and be cool and run with them and go like, yeah, I'm just going to use you for a night. Yeah, no. So anyway, that's it.
Okay, thanks for the question, Rachel, and the answer. Terrell, Stephanie R., you are up. Hi, Stephanie R. And really, really grateful to be here tonight and to be able to hear you, Terrell, because I know that there are no mistakes, and I came to this meeting for just for fellowship and to hear something that I think would speak to my heart, because today was just a really, really challenging day. It was one of those life events where I have to take on a burden that my sister was helping me with, and it's going to be all mine. And I just was so initially thinking, boy, maybe this is something that I just need to fix. What am I going to do? How am I going to fix it? And I paused. I think it's, and I know it's the beauty of this program that I was able to pause and say, God, I'm going to leave this to you. I'm going to let this be something that you will help me through. And I heard so much of that in what you were saying, Terrell, because I don't, I by no means feel I do this program perfectly, but I do know I pause and I check in with a higher power just to see what my next step should be. And sometimes my ears are clearer on certain days than others. And today I heard it, and I know in all sincerity that it is because of this program that I had the clarity and I had the peace of mind to know that this is God's to manage. I know I had the tools to use, but this is for God to manage. And I'm so grateful I'm here. I'm so grateful I heard you, Terrell, tonight, because it just gives me that sense of peace and calm to know that this program works in good times and particularly in stressful times. I don't need food. I don't need overspending. I don't need things outside of myself to get through this. And so I just needed to say that out loud and to say thank you for sharing. And with that, I'll pass.
Hey, thank you, Stephanie. I'm glad you could join us. I think it's Rochelle. You're up.
Hi, family. I'm Rochelle. I'm a compulsive overeater, binge eater, emotional eater. I'm a newcomer and I have day four. I don't think I've ever been to this meeting, this particular meeting. Terrell, thank you for sharing your story. And it's like diversity is our strength. And this is the Choose Your Own Conception group. And it was like, thank you for sharing your conception. And that's really all I have. I just wanted to check in. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Julie AG. You're up.
Hi, everybody. This is Julie AG, and I am a compulsive overeater, recovering one day at a time by the grace of God. Terrell, thank you so much for your share. It's pretty cool. And life is just, I don't know, I'll just call it a bowl of mixed nuts right now. And we all go through so many different things, from teenagers, kids to growing up, being an adult. And it's like, dang, I gotta put my big girl panties on, And it's sometimes it's just so difficult, but then I thank God each and every day that He gives me peace and rest to get through this day, get through the next day and the next. And so I am very grateful for this program because it does allow me to one, give service always, and two, to just be in fellowship and understand and know that there are all kinds of people, all kinds of issues, whether you're a man or woman, it doesn't really matter. We're all in this together. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie. Lisa C, you're up.
Hey, family. My name is Lisa, and I am a compulsive overeater. And Terrell, thank you. You said so many wonderful things. Lots of little nuggets, when you were talking about just one more, just one more. That's what it was on my last time I went out. It was just one more piece, just one more piece, just one. And I kept on going back and going back. And it's once I put that in my mouth, you know, I had the obsession before. And once I put it in, I couldn't put it down. And that's what really, you know, I started to look, you know, I had 30 plus years in the beverage program and I couldn't trust higher power with my food. And it's that trust that I've learned to have in step three, that I can trust my higher power with everything. And that meant I had to, you know, put some action behind, you know, I had to pick up, I had to send in my food. I had to, you know, commit to work in the steps, commit to service, commit to, you know, to a home group, make all these commitments. That's just, you know, when I do these things, it's just affirming to me that I am admitting I am powerless and I need help with these things. And you also talked about, it's not what happens, it's how we deal with it. And that is, you know, for me, that's what I'm learning more. And that's what I'm learning to do. I'm learning that I don't have to pick up something to fill that void, to help me to get through the stress, to help me to get through, you know, whatever it is I'm going through. Because we all go through stuff. It's how we live life without having to pick up. And that means I have to go closer to my higher power. I have to trust my higher power. I have to say, higher power, how do I handle this? The confidence to say yes to life. That's what program gives me. And I just love that because, you know, I have a life today, you know. I'm living in Panama. I got to retire early. You know, I couldn't do that if I was still into the food and into all the other things. It's because I, you know, I have a life today because I was able to trust higher power and to put down those things. And the other thing you said is I need a higher power that gets bigger and bigger. And that's me. You know, my higher power is not the same when I first came into a program, you know, over 30 years ago. It has changed. It has gotten bigger. It has to get bigger. I don't have the same beliefs that I, you know, it changes constantly. And that's another 11th step, you know, sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with higher power. And as I do that, higher power gets bigger and blows me away sometimes. But I will miss those miracles, you know, if I pick up the food. So I keep coming back and I appreciate everybody for being here tonight.
Thanks, Lisa. Jim H.
Hey, everyone. I'm Jim and I'm a food addict. Thank you, Terrell. Really appreciate your share. And thanks for everyone doing service tonight. So you spoke about what you said about fear and trust. And love is really speaking to me about, life just felt so scary. And in a certain way, I feel like I got abstinent. And now, like, deepening kind of step 6 and 7, I would say, which is maybe like the 10th step, I'm like starting to just, life feels like it's opening up more. It's kind of amazing. But trust and love, those are kind of vague words. So I have two questions for you. One, can you tell us, like, today, practically, like, when was there a challenge that you chose trust and love? And then two, when do you go to another fellow to help you get there? And when do you go directly to a higher power? Like, how do you know that line?
It's kind of weird. I mean, I don't have problems. It's weird. There's not a lot of challenge. I mean, every now and then I might be like, well, I want to play pickleball today, but they couldn't work out because they're putting solar panels on our carport. I mean, is that a challenge? No, it's not a challenge. But one of the biggest challenges I would say recently is making a decision to move to Mexico, come here to Puerto Vallarta, and do that whole process and moving. And I just kept going like, okay, well, we're just going to see, just another data point. It's kind of like, I just trust. And I always know that, I mean, I love step 10 because it says, you know what? You're going to make a mistake. You know, you're going to make another mistake, baby. So why don't you just realize that, as opposed to going like, well, am I going to make the right? Am I going to do this right? Like, I just go like, I can do a 10 step. And I've learned that unless I kill somebody, it can pretty much be rectified. Whatever I do can be rectified by an amends. So as long as I don't kill anyone, I'm good, right? And then also, I mean, what I'm at today at 45 is nothing like it was when it was 45 days or 4.5 years. I mean, like, I'm 68 years old. So I'm like pretty much my entire adult life, I've been working a 12-step program. So I feel like my brain has reworked. It says I intuitively will know how the situation used to baffle me. I believe that has come true for me in that promise. Now I have friends I talk to. My last sponsor, she just got dementia again. It's part of the promise with being a 68-year-old man with reaching out people who have more time. They seem to be all women and they seem to be getting dementia now. So I am learning so I'm kind of in the market for a new sponsee. I'm a new sponsor, but I have my God squad. And I have my God squad I go to. So if something comes up where I go like, I need to talk this shit out, I will talk this shit out with somebody. So I don't know if that answers the question, but if you're new, and I like to say if you're new, that means 10 years or less of abstinence, because once you get to 10 years, life changes. So that if you're new, talk that shit out all the time. Just write it and share. And I was once said, someone I wanted to ask me when I was like 3-4 years absent, and they said, did you write about it? I said, yeah, I wrote about it yesterday. She said, well, you still have the feelings today? I said, yes. She said, well, then write about it again today. So I found out I was writing it over and over again. So that's the way I keep getting centered and back to God. And my sponsors have always made it very clear to me, and I make clear to my sponsees, my main goal is not to tell you how to run your life. My main goal is to bring you back to God and trust in God. My time's up.
Love that. Awesome. Will the Zoom host please stop recording? Sorry, I can't find where my script is. We will now stop the recording for unrecording questions or shares. Okay.